You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, I'm Bills defensive end Greg Russo, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
The Buffalo Bills shut out the Houston Texans 40-0 in Orchard Park on Sunday, shutting out their second team in 3 weeks to go 3-1. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and we are going to discuss the Bills' victory yesterday over the Houston Texans, dominating victory. We're going to go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game, our sweet, sassy, molassy play of the game, and as always, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, with some help from our amazing followers on Twitter. And we have more giveaways to do again this podcast, so stay tuned towards the end for that. But first, I'm joined by my co-host, John, for this episode. And John, going into this game, the Bills had two very decisive victories over the Dolphins, shutting them out a couple of weeks ago. They had a win over the Washington Redskins, very decisive, 43-21. They got a couple of touchdowns in there in garbage time. So the Bills really were just have been lights out defensively. That first game against Pittsburgh, I'm still chalking up to everything had to go absolutely right for them to lose, for the Bills to lose that game. I mean, I'm talking referee calls, penalties, takeaways, special teams, touchdowns, like all that stuff in week one. But whatever, we're moved past that. The Bills shut out the Texans yesterday. And this was just, this is going to be a fun conversation. It's probably going to be a short conversation today just because there wasn't a whole lot to discuss that was wrong, just a lot that went right for the Bills. It was a rainy day there in Orchard Park. I was at the game, and it was an exciting time to be there. At no point during the game was I like, oh, you know, I wonder how this game is going to go. I'll be honest, the first play where Josh Allen threw an interception on his first pass, deep in Bill's own side of the ball or on the side of the field, I was a little worried then. But other than that, they got the turnover and downs, they got the ball back, and they never looked back. Great game by the Bills. Would you say, John, that the Bills had their way with the Houston Texans on Sunday?
They sure did have their way with the Houston Texans, Nate. Just like they had their way with the Washington football team and the Miami Dolphins.
Dude, having your way with 3 out of 4 teams is not a bad start to the season.
No, that's not bad. It's really exciting. Like you look back at the recent Bills history, and it's like sometimes they'll have a good defense, or maybe like in the Bledsoe years they had a good offense, but they never had both good at the same time, or at least this good. Mm-hmm. So it's really awesome to watch, like just blowing out teams like they should, right?
Absolutely. You know, speaking of that, I thought about this today, tweeted it out on Twitter. If you're not following us, we're at CTW Pod, like Circling the Wagons Pod. And basically, it was like before Sean McDermott got here almost 5 years ago, it was like the Bills would mostly only beat really bad teams, and they never really beat them well. They would just kind of beat them. And then even some of those games, they would lose, and they would never beat good teams or anything like that, right? And now with Sean McDermott here, like they're beating good teams, they're beating bad teams. Like they've pretty much always win against the teams they're supposed to win against. And now with the team as good as it is in his fifth season, like the Bills are finally absolutely destroying and burying these really bad teams. And you saw it last week and against the football team. You saw it the week before against the Dolphins. And you saw it this week against the Texans. The Texans are not a good team. They're on their third string quarterback. I believe he's a rookie. And, you know, this was a team that was devoid of talent even before, you know, Bill O'Brien left. Like, he had traded so many players away and draft picks and whatever. This team is a team that the Bills should beat 40-0. And they did. You know, we're not talking about, well, they beat them 17-10, kind of disappointing, but whatever. They still got the win. You know, like how you justified it to yourself before Sean McDermott. Well, you know, I kind of wish they won by more, but, you know, at least a win is a win. It's like, now we don't have to do that. This season, we don't have to do that. And this is like the sign of a Super Bowl contending team. I mean, that's what good Super Bowl contending teams do. They really, really beat up on these really bad teams. So I have an interesting stat from Jeff Kerr over at CBS. He said the Bills have two shutouts in their first four games. The last team to do that, the 2000 Ravens. And we all know what they did. So obviously a good time for the Buffalo Bills defense. Offense looked pretty good, obviously. Just an all-around good game. There's really not a whole lot to really add to that without, you know, going into the stats of the game. John, is there anything else you want to add to that before I move into the next segment?
Yeah, you talk about that Ravens team. That was, who was quarterback?
Trent Dilfer.
Right. So, like,
wait. Hall of Fame Trent Dilfer, right? I mean, I'm not missing that, right? First ballot, right. Hall of Famer Trent Dilfer.
So like, you know, it was great, like, defensive stat, right? But, like, having, like, Allen and the offense that we have to complement that defense is just so much more amazing to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is like a dream scenario to have. A quarterback this good in his prime versus, you know, along with the defense. And you and I talked about this before the season. Remember, we did a season preview right before week one. And we said, imagine if this defense could be a top 10 defense and you have Josh Allen playing as good as he has. Now, he hasn't been amazing this season, but he's still really good. I'd argue that this is, it's almost an unstoppable team if Allen, you know, plays up to his 2020 level and the defense continues to dominate the way it does. I don't see a scenario where, you know, this isn't a deep run unless someone just, you know, catches their number at the wrong time, you know? So let's go into our stats of the game in yesterday's victory.
Stats of the game.
They've done studies, you know, 60% of the time it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, Kent. 40% of all people know that.
I should say yesterday's victory, we are recording this a day later than normal. So apologize for those people that were messaging me and emailing me like, hey, did the podcast, did I miss it? It's not showing up on Spotify. It's not showing up on Apple Podcasts. And no, you don't see it there because it did not exist. I got home from the game, and I, this is obvious. I've said this before. I live in the Rochester area. So you don't get home from a Bills game until like 8 o'clock. Right. And, as soon as I get home, like the power was out, and could not record. So appreciate you guys being patient for this podcast. But what was good is, you know, it's an easy game to really decipher and discuss. But we'll recap anything and everything in this game going along with that. So the Buffalo Bills on the Bills side of the ball, stats of the game, Josh Allen, 20 for 29, 248 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. That one interception I mentioned coming in the very first possession, the very first pass. But otherwise, a pretty solid game. 69% passing percentage, completion percentage. John, we used this rating system last week, but how many fire emojis would you give Josh Allen out of 5 fire emojis for his performance yesterday? 69% passing, 248 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. And he had 6 carries for 41 yards.
I'm going to give him a 4.
You can give him a four. He did have that one fumble, even though he didn't lose it. Four fire emojis, huh? So yeah. if I'm going to say what five fire emojis equals, I want to say five fire emojis equals like 400 yard passing, four touchdowns, maybe throw in a rushing touchdown. I mean, you know,
yeah, you're talking about last week then, right? So he had like 350 something yards, four passing, one rushing touchdown, no turnovers, right? I don't think he had a turnover.
So if that's correct. So if that's a five fire emoji day,
you're thinking three for today?
I'm saying, let's do halves. I say 3.5 for me. Like it wasn't a four, but a 4-1 would be like 320 yards passing, three touchdowns, one interception. Okay. So yeah, I say 3.5.
I'll go with a 3.5. I mean, they weren't finishing drives either, right? So they had four field goals with the longest one being 33 yards. So like they got close a bunch of times and didn't finish. So yeah, I'll go with the 3.5.
So there was a point, I think it was in the beginning of the end of the first half where the Bills had like 240 yards total, you know, offensive yards to Houston's like 40 yards. Like it was embarrassing, but the score was still like only 16-0, you know? So you did kind of wish that some of those drives turned into touchdowns as opposed to field goals, right? If we're trying to be critical of the performance, right? It wasn't Josh Allen's best day, but by no means was it a bad game for Josh Allen. Devin Singletary, the leading rusher for the Bills, 14 carries, 79 yards, 5.6 yards per carry. That's pretty darn good. We have Zach Moss as a second leading rusher, 14 carries, 61 yards, one touchdown, 4.4 yards per carry. The Bills running backs just looking really good today. There was a fumble by Devin Singletary. He did not end up losing it, but that should be noted. I believe he's had three of those so far this season, maybe four. So, yeah, just not ideal, obviously. In a game where you're playing against a much better team, it might be an issue. But next week, we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss that next week if it becomes an issue. But so far, so good. So, John, we asked the listeners to come up with some nicknames for Zach Moss, okay? And we had a couple of our own. I think it was like powertrain or something like that, or just engine. Like, you know, there was, because, you know, Devin Singletary is motor. So we're like, okay, what can we have for Zach Moss? Okay. So I'm going to read like 10 or 12 of these to you. See if any of these stick out to you as far as what you like. We're kind of going on the theme of motors and engines and stuff like that. So that's why some of these are the way they are. Okay. So Zach Moss, how about powertrain? Dynamo, torque, whack moss, and then I kind of like threw in the whack-a-mole moss, right? Zach whack-a-mole moss, huh? Anyways, demoss-lition, like demolition, obviously. Zach boss, I kind of like that one. Zach boss, big Zach hoss, turbo is a good one. Piston, I like it. Power stroke, man. There's a lot of engine references, a lot of motor references. I like it. I feel like I'm giggling like an eighth grader when I hear power stroke, but whatever. Mighty Moss, like as in Mighty Mouse, Zach Mighty Moss, like that, like here I come to save the day. You know, like that one, except it's like here I come to save the play. Zach Mighty Moss. Okay. I'm done singing. Boulder was the last one. Moss on a boulder. Did any of those stand out to you?
I'm trying to think, because I'm trying to like combine it with motor, like motor and or whatever Moss's nickname. Ooh. And motor.
Motor and piston.
Because like, I mean, even this game is a perfect example, right? They each had 14 carries. They combined for 28 carries, 140 yards. Like,
they were a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, definitely. Like, just something that flows and sounds good, like, you know, the, you know, thunder and lightning, which you've had, you know, before and things like that.
Okay. Motor. Well, how about like motor and turbo, motor and piston, motor and torque? I kind of like torque. I kind of like that one. Not going to lie. Motor and powertrain. Powertrain's kind of nice. It's just a little bit long. It's a little wordy. Whack.
Motor and whack-a-mole moss.
Motor and Whack-A-Mole. Oh, those go completely together. It's just like thunder and lightning. Motor and Whack-A-Mole. Dude, I like, so if it's going to be like a thunder and lightning sort of thing, I kind of like grease, motor and grease, right? Because it's slippery. Like, I kind of like that. If you're going to say a motor and something, or I like Turbo, but the problem is he's not fast, and Turbo is like the definition of fast. Like, if he was like the speed option of that, I could definitely see, you know?
You could do third and Moss, because he's, you know, he'll give that second effort on third down. You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't make any sense, Jeff. your logic. I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to do. I know you're trying to bait me, and I'm not taking the bait. Okay. Okay. So you really want it. You're thinking it's got to roll off your tongue for Zach Moss, like motor and Moss. I mean, geez, that almost sounds like perfect. Motor and Boulder. That just almost rhymes. Motor and Power Stroke.
Motor and Power Stroke Whack Moss. I mean, torque works.
Motor and torque. Motor and even, torque does work. Zach Torque Moss. Motor and torque.
You could have the Moss nickname go first, and then do that and motor. If that makes it better.
Look at you thinking outside the box. I like it. Okay, so like torque and motor, that still kind of works. Piston and motor, whack-a-mole and motor. I just like whack-a-mole. I got to be honest. I know I came up with it, and I know I'm partial, very
piston
partial.
Piston and motor works.
Piston and motor. Piston, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, we're going to keep thinking of if people have more ideas, ones that we did not think of, again, just like last week, message us over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever. Email us, ctwpod@gmail.com. We love these submissions, these user submissions. You guys are great at that. One person did come up with a nickname for Emmanuel Sanders, which I do like this one. He called him Handy Manny. I like that one. Handy Manny, man. He catches, he holds on to everything, man. Handy Manny. I love it. I love it. The only thing I don't like is that we might not have him next year. So we'll have this awesome nickname and then use it for only like 8 more games. So
we can just use it for Beasley after.
Beasley. Let's not get into Beasley. Beasley did, remove himself from his self-imposed Twitter ban to say, and I will say this because this is relevant to the podcast. It is relevant to the game, not just social media or vaccinations or whatever. But he did say it's kind of in so much saying it's kind of messed up that I get booed in my own stadium. Now, John, when you're listening to the broadcast over the television and Beasley, Cole Beasley, third and Cole Beasley catches a pass, what do you hear from the crowd? Does it sound like a boo?
I didn't hear anything because power is out at the stadium. I heard Cower and James Brown and Boomer Esiason and Nate Burleson.
Oh, you heard them calling the game? They weren't saying anything? Would it be funny if they were booing Cole from the... when, you know, Cole Beasley catches a first down on a four-yard pass on third down. Boo! Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, Boomer. Boomer, just settle down over there. No, I'm sick of it. starts an in-house fight on Fox Sports or whatever, CBS. When I was there, so he was saying that people were booing. They were not booing. At least I never got the impression that they were booing whatsoever. Being amongst a crowd, did not hear anyone. It sounded like it was Beasley. Bees. So I think he's being a little sensitive about that. Mostly because I don't think that's what happened. I mean, I didn't boo him. I don't know anyone else that booed him. I mean, let's be honest. Like his whole thing is like limited to like social media for the most part. And even though we're on social media or whatever, like the majority of people aren't following the Cole Beasley Twitter saga like some of us are, you know, like the grand scheme of things. It's like, you know, your grandfather, your mother, whatever, you know, your 10-year-old kid, like they're not paying attention to that stuff. So I just thought that was funny. That had to be brought up. But anyway, stats of the game. I listed all the Bills stats of the game. By the way, dude, Starla Tulele with a sack today. That was pretty cool to see. That's pretty cool to see. I'm a big fan of Star. This is a big, hey, let's not, you know, a couple of seasons ago, we were trashing star because he wasn't, you know, playing up to his level, or the Bills were getting run on. And then he comes back this season. He's probably the most notable new player back from this season that wasn't here last season, besides maybe Greg Rousseau. And look at the emergence of this Bills defense. Now, I don't want to say it's directly because of Star Latulele, but let's be honest, it's absolutely only because of Star Latulele coming back this season after opting out last season. I don't think there's any question of it. How good was it to see him, though, John? Seriously.
No, it was great. And speaking of newish players or players to return this year, I mean, Basham had a sack as well. I thought that was great to see.
That was very good to see. Absolutely. Good call there. Kicking for the day, Tyler Bass, 4 for 4, longest of 33, and 4 for 4 in extra points. The dude was amazing. Kick some ass, T-Bass, I should say. Let's go into the Texan side of the ball real quick. Davis Mills had a Nathan Peterman-like day, 11 for 21, 87 yards, 4 interceptions, 0 touchdowns. Leading rusher for the Texans, Mark Ingram, 6 carries for 24 yards, 4 yards per carry. They didn't really have a whole lot of time to run the ball because they were behind so quickly. Leading receiver for the Texans is Brandon Cooks, 5 receptions for 47 yards on 7 targets. Oh, dude, how could I have forgotten? I didn't even get into receivers for the Buffalo Bills. I was too busy talking about running backs. Leading receiver for the Bills, Stephon Diggs, 7 receptions on 10 targets for 114 yards. The Diggs of old is back, and the stats to prove it. Emmanuel Sanders, Manny Hands. Wasn't there a guy in He-Man's Manny Faces or something like that? He just had, like, he would turn his head. I feel like I had hit that action figure, Manny Faces. I think he had like 3 different faces. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Manny Hands, 5 receptions on 6 targets for 74 yards. Dawson Jugger Knox, 5 receptions on 8 targets, 37 yards, but 2 touchdowns. Dawson Knox, unbelievable, unbelievable season, unbelievable game. The dude is just playing, balling, lights out. As far as fumbles, there was only 1 fumble. The Bills recovered from the Texans. I believe AJ Klein had that one, so that was a good one. Some other stats of the game in yesterday's win. Jaquan Johnson had his first career INT against Davis Mills. Jaquan Johnson, I'm going to label him the official backup for the Circling the Wagons podcast. He is, John, can you name a better backup that the Bills have for Jaquan Johnson? What would you put? Tyler Matakavich? I mean, I can't even list AJ Klein. I mean, Jaquan Johnson for me is by far one of my, he does not have the athletic traits of Poyer and Hyde, but every time he gets an opportunity, he makes the most of it. And I freaking love it. Do you love Jaquan Johnson, or is there a better backup that you like that you'd rather make the official backup of the Circling the Wagons podcast?
Honestly, I it would be hard for me to pick. The Bills have really good depth, pretty much across the board. Yeah, that's really hard.
That's what she said. Johnson, how can Johnson not be your favorite, right? I'm gonna name him. Unless you have a compelling argument, which it doesn't sound like you do, then I think that's a good one. Didn't you say, John, that this was the second largest victory, margin of victory for the Buffalo Bills in their history as a franchise?
Yes. I think CBS had the graphic up towards the end of the game. It was the second largest win in franchise history. 1990, they beat the Browns 42-0.
Nice. I do not remember that, but I do remember this game. So the Buffalo Bills have limited opponents to 44 points this season, the second fewest in team history through the first 4 games of a season in 40 points in 1982. So this is the best defense we've had to start a season in 39 years. The Buffalo Bills currently lead the NFL in takeaways with 11, which is a great stat to have. And yeah, so those were the stats of the game. Stats of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago. If you haven't been to Waterloo, by the way, and checked out the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago, go there, check it out, make a bet. It is a fun time. Have some food there, man. That bar and the restaurant there is very nice. Can't wait to go there. I think we're trying to figure out sometime in November to make a trip out there when it's not prime time, because next week is prime time. It's kind of hard to do a prime time game and then record the podcast right after and then drive home from Waterloo. So, but I would definitely check it out the night of. So again, that is the stats of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago. We are going to take a quick commercial break. After that, we'll go into our sweet, sassy, molassy plays of the game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. So stick around.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again, and I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right. Welcome back to this victory edition of the Circling the Wagons podcast, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show. I am your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. I am with my co-host, John. We were just discussing the Buffalo Bills having their way with the Houston Texans, 40-0. A great game to talk about. Let's go into our sweet, sassy, molassy plays of the game. Our sweet, sassy, molassy plays of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago. John, I'll let you go first. What, in your opinion, was the sweet, sassy, molassy play of the game in today's victory?
Lots of great plays to choose from here, but I'm going to go with the first Allen to Knox touchdown. The way that pump fake he had where he had three defenders jump all over Diggs and then he just effortlessly throws it to Knox, who's wide open all of a sudden. That was pretty sweet.
Dude, I think Josh Allen has the best pump fake of any quarterback in Bills franchise history. I think that goes without question. Maybe Flutie had a decent one, but Josh Allen has the best. And then not only that, with Dawson Knox, he ran through like two or three defenders to get to that touchdown, man. That was a good play. Good call on that one. I'm going to do kind of a different one. And it's going to be kind of a little bit of a Gettysburg, I guess you could kind of say, even though the Bills won 40-0. But it was that turnover on downs when the Texans, the Bills passed. So the Bills' first possession after the Texans go three and out, Bills had the ball deep in their own end zone, deep in their own end, and Josh Allen throws an interception with his first pass. Gets run back to like the Bills 13-yard line. And you're like, oh, great. How's this going to go? And as a Bills fan, you always kind of default to that emotion of like, oh, no. And Josh The Bills defense came out strong. They put up a big stop. It was fourth and one or fourth and two. And Davis Mills goes to throw the ball, and it gets tipped to the line of scrimmage, goes incomplete. The Bills get the ball right back. The defense holds the shutout. That play would have been huge. That was a determining play. It could have changed the outcome of the game. It wouldn't have changed the outcome. Let's be honest. Okay. I'm going a little bit too far there, but it could have changed the momentum slightly. The Bills probably still would have won 25-3 or 26-3 or whatever. But that to me was, I think, one of the plays of the game was that big stop there on fourth down, which the Bills are like almost the Bills defense. I don't know if they've even allowed a fourth down conversion this season. I'm going to have to look into that maybe for next week. That was a Sweet Sassy Malassi Plays of the Game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago. Now let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago. Let's start with the Wall of Fame.
Wall.
John, I'll go first for the Wall of Fame. I'm going to put Dawson Knox on my Wall of Fame. Not only, you know, this game, it feels like game after game, he just keeps playing better and better. And he had two touchdowns yesterday. I'm so excited. We were talking before the season, breakout players for the Buffalo Bills, like third and fourth year players. You know, we talked about Ed Oliver. We talked about Tremaine Edmonds. And like I said, Dawson Knox didn't necessarily think he's actually the least likely of the three, if I were to say, of those three players that I thought would have a breakout season in year number three. And he's done it, man. He is putting up, you know, TE1 numbers. And at the end of the season, we might be looking at Dawson Knox as a top 10 tight end. And, you know, his biggest, it feel like last season, it was just like, I want to like you, Dawson Knox. It was like, I like your swagger. I like how well you get along with Josh Allen. I like your funny touchdown celebrations with him. I love the fact that you can have these amazingly tough catches in contested situations. I just don't like how you drop the ball and stonehand it like on third and short, you know, like when the ball's right in your breadbasket. That's what I don't like. But I just wanted to like him. And this season, he's giving us every reason to really enjoy him and like him, and I'm all for it. John, who's on your Wall of Fame?
Well, since Mike isn't here, I'm going to go ahead and cheat and say the entire defensive unit, top to bottom. As you mentioned before, with the fourth down stop, like the defense was put in a position after the interception where they had to make a stop, and they did. So that helped preserve the shutout early, and then even late in the game, when many backups were in the game, you have Medikevich making great tackles and even the pick to seal the shutout. Like, it was just great all around. The depth really showed how much good depth they have and how disciplined they were today. This could have been like a trap game for the Bills, and that didn't happen.
No, the defense. And by the way, don't listen to Mike when he says that's a cop-out answer. That's just his opinion. There are no rules on who or what can be on the Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame, okay? Like, I'm very clear about that when I tweet that out. Who or what is on your Wall of Fame? People put the broadcast. People put the refs. People put the weather. It is what it is. Let's see. Who should we put on our Wall of Shame in yesterday's win?
Shame. Shame. Shame.
John, I'll start off with you. Man, there's a lot that went right for the Buffalo Bills. Is there anything that you can put on your Wall of Shame?
Not really. I mean, like a 40-0 blowout. If I pick a player or a coach or something, it would just be nitpicking. The only thing I can think of is, you know, conspiracy theory where, you know, okay, the stadium lost power, where it was like Terry Pegula sitting over there by the breaker box shutting stuff off. He's like, oh, I guess we need a new stadium, but we don't have power.
I love conspiracy theories. So you're thinking that he's like, so he's going to start finding ways like that to make it look like this stadium thing really needs to happen. Like, he's underneath some like very structural beams into there at night, like chipping away with like a little like, the dude from Shawshank Redemption, like one of those little tiny stone hammers. Like each week is just a little bit more chipped away, and all of a sudden by week 16, you know, a structural beam falls. Like, hey, you know what? We need a new stadium. I don't know what to tell you. And people are going to be like, we'll give you whatever we want. I don't care. We'll fund it all, Terry. It's such a, it's, I don't know many people that side with the owners on this, but it's, to me, it's such a scam that like, that we're paying for this. And then you and I talked about this at length before the podcast about PSLs and the fact that you have to pay just to get your tickets. It is just like, what kind of scam came up? What kind of pyramid scheme is this that you have to pay to get the things that you're going to pay for?
Yeah. I mean, and on top of that, you know, the tickets are going to go up and parking is going to go up and everything else. And then there are the articles about being like the, you know, 60,000 seats or whatever, the lowest in the whole league. And like, I don't know.
Not a fan. We're going to save a whole podcast in the off season to talk and air out our grievances or, you know, give credit where credit is due. But yeah, man. Who would have thought billionaires would be somewhat entitled? Like, right? Like, who would have thought? Who would have thought that they'd be somewhat out of touch with the common man? Speaking of out of touch with the common man, I, for the first time, had Jim Kelly Club tickets for the game, which are the nicest seats I've ever had, by far. One of the friends I've had, he had tickets, and he sent out two months ago, almost all the games are available. If you want to go to one with me, let me know. And I was like, absolutely. And it worked out perfectly because it was a terrible, terrible game for the weather for that. So, but like I said, you know, this, it's a different atmosphere, man. It's a different atmosphere when you're in the crowd and you're at the game and you kind of miss some of the things from the couch. Not going to lie, maybe it's because I'm getting a little bit older. We've had season tickets. We had the Rock Pile season tickets, right? We talked about this before we recorded, but we realized, I think one of the main reason why they were so cheap is because there was no scoreboard that you could look at without turning 180 degrees every single time you wanted to see a replay. And that itself was worth an extra $100 or whatever it would have cost to have season tickets that were like at a 45 degree angle. So you would just have to look over, you know, slightly.
And you had to do it too, because when the ball was on the other side of the field, like the 30 yards to the end zone, you couldn't see anything.
I know you were so happy when either action was on your side of the end zone, because you're like, oh, thank God I don't have to turn around. Like in my 20s, I'm like, oh, I have a creak in my neck. I'm going to go with the wall of shame is just as the weather. Like I mentioned, the weather wasn't ideal for a great passing game. For Josh Allen, maybe that's part of the reason why we didn't see as much success there, but still had a great game nonetheless. I wouldn't say amazing. 3.5 fire emojis. Okay, let's be honest there. 3.5 fire emojis. So as always, after the game, I tweet from our official Twitter account, who or what is on your wall of fame and wall of shame in today's victory or loss, and you guys never seem to disappoint. So I'm going to read some of them now. 716 writes, this wall of fame, this defense is legit. Wall of shame, got to finish inside the 10, but did well cleaning it up in the second half. Definitely. That isn't an issue against the Houston Texans. Finishing drives and making them touchdowns out of field goals is going to be a bigger deal against better teams. And you may not get as many scoring opportunities in general. So AJ Tharp writes in, how does one have a wall of shame in a game like this? The whole damn team makes the wall of fame. But if we're doing tiers, that defense gets top billing. All facets of the game were going strong. Elizabeth Schapp writes in,
oh, it's a lady.
Wall of fame, Singletary all day and half the night. Wall of shame, special teams, penalties, and the power going out because I couldn't see it here in Baltimore for a bit. Yep, that's a common theme. Big Baller Beanie writes, wall of fame, got to be defense. Edmonds, Hughes, Hyde, Klein, a lot of names to credit with a shutout. Wall of shame, Josh Allen. My king isn't playing like the MVP I saw last week. Also, y'all for not meeting up with me at the game. Now, a couple of things here. Wall of shame, Josh Allen, I think that's a little harsh, but I think it's if you're trying to compare to 2020 Josh Allen, then yeah, it was a wall of shame game. But they didn't need him to really do a lot. And we were watching the highlights again before we started recording. And we just noticed that the poise that Josh Allen has minus the interception, a lot of that was he just seemed effortless this game. So although it wasn't a 300 plus yard passing game, although he didn't lead the Bills to victory specifically, I think his play is changing. And I think it started last week and I think it kind of continued into this week, even though the stats don't necessarily show it. And as far as like not meeting up at the game, Beanie, a couple of other people, I've tried to meet up with them, tailgate beers, one of the coolest social media accounts on the earth for Buffalo Bills fans. A couple of other listeners and stuff wanted to meet up. I got to be honest, when we set up at like 9 a.m. in lot six, I think we were in, and we set up the canopy and it started raining, I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to go meet anyone. I wanted to stay right under the canopy in that 10 by 10 and just drink beers, drink seltzers, and drink, charcuteries, some pepperoni. That's what I call charcuterie. It's just literally pepperoni slices and cheeses and dips and stuff like that. And I didn't want to leave. And all of a sudden, you know, when you're having a good time tailgating and you've had a few beers, you've had a few pops, you've had a few seltzers, all of a sudden it's noon and you've got to get into the game. And you're just like, oh crap, I was supposed to see that college buddy of mine, or oh crap, I was supposed to see that person I've been messaging for the last week. And it just doesn't happen. So apologies to anyone there. Hopefully we can do it again. Hopefully maybe we can get John and Mike out next time and make a game of it and meet some listeners or whatever. Just party with you guys, give you a beer, hand you a beer from the cooler, man. It's funny. I tailgate beer. Speaking of them, they had this really hilarious photo they did of the Will Ferrell opening a beer can, except they like put them all in Bills gear. They Photoshopped the hell out of it. And it like looks like it's right in front of like a Bills parking lot. It was unbelievable. And every time I go to a game, and it has been like 3 or 4 years, you know, you're always starting off like, hey, I'm going to take it easy today. Gonna really enjoy the game, not just like drink. And then, you know, the cooler comes out and then that first beer opens and then it's all over. Lucas Smith writes, Zach Moss nickname suggestions, Baron Zemo. Baron Zemo. Oh, I like that one. Nice Marvel reference for Baron Zemo. I like where your head's at, Lucas.
That's what she said.
Wow. Buffalo Blitzkrieg writes, John, I'm so glad we could do this podcast together. Your insight is top notch. Always fun. Man, I can't believe you can go that long. Buffalo Blitzkrieg writes, while not the best performer in a great defensive game, I want to shout out Cam Lewis for Wall of Fame. Called up from the practice squad this weekend and just flies all over the field. 4 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, a pass deflection. Wall of Shame, I don't know, Daryl Williams, I guess. Not bad, but not good. That's a good call there on Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis, a player that we might see a lot more of if we don't re-sign Taron Johnson this offseason. So you kind of got to think about Dane Jackson, Cam Lewis, guys that might fill that role if we cannot afford to keep Taron Johnson. And let's be honest, like I don't know if we're going to be one of those teams that can start to retain all its players like we have been doing like the last year. Like we haven't let anyone go really in the grand scheme of things. So good call there by Buffalo Blitzkrieg. Mike Graham writes, Wall of Fame, Knox. This dude needs to be recognized. Wall of Shame, everyone who was saying the Bills offense was playing terrible. That rain was crazy. No offense. No offense is going to play well in that weather. You can't expect Allen to throw the ball with zip when he can't grip the ball. It's a good call there. I mean, I think that it was raining for the majority of the game. So I don't think that gets stated enough, Mike. So thank you for bringing that up. Nicole Nicosia writes, Wall of Fame, Star, Boogie, Bass, Knox, Sanders, Allen, Jaquan Johnson, Klein, Matakevich, Trubisky. I'm sure I missed someone, LOL. I don't do shame when it's a shutout. Go Bills. Carlin Sullivan writes, Wall of Fame, Starlet Tulele got on the stat sheet a lot today. Micah Hyde for continued greatness. Zach Moss and no, she wrote Zach Miss. I'm thinking that that's a typo, but then I'm also thinking that Zach Miss is also a decent nickname. Zach Miss, get it? Zach Miss Moss. John, do we have anything there?
I don't like it.
Okay. Well, okay. So it's probably just not a correct issue. Okay. Zach Miss and Devin Singletary both had great days. Wall of Shame, I don't know, but don't let Milano be hurt for next week. Oh my God. Good call there. We do not need Milano to be hurt for the game against Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. John, have you heard anything about Matt Milano's injury? I believe he's day to day. Is that correct?
Yeah, I thought I saw that Milano, Poyer, and Taron Johnson are all day to day as of what's today, Monday?
Yeah. Monday night. So that'll be interesting to watch. I saw the play. Banged Up Bills showed the play where Milano pulled up lame from the hamstring injury. Oh, man, those things happen so quickly. It's just, we really need him back. We really need him back in general. One of our best players on defense. The dude is always everywhere. Cheering from afar writes, another shutout. Bring on the Chiefs. Wall of Fame, the D-line, the linebackers, and the secondary. Dawson Knox and most backups flashed. Cam Lewis had a game, the Jaquan Johnson interception, the DeMar Hamlin pass breakup, and the Wall of Shame, the rain, the Milano injury, the red zone offense. Go Bills. Now, John, you were saying something. So right now the Chiefs are last in their division, right? They're tied for last or something in their division. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're last. If the Chargers lose tonight, they'd be tied with them at 2-2, but the Chargers beat the Chiefs, so they'd still be last.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning like point differential or the most points, like the Bills have our second most points in the NFL or something, and they're second only to the Chiefs, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what the rankings are, but I think the Bills and Chiefs both have scored 134 points. But the one thing I notice is that the Bills have 44 points against, while the Chiefs have 125 points against.
Nice.
So that bodes well for, you know, our defense, not only because they have been doing well, but the Chiefs haven't been doing so well as for points against. So, you know, those factors might benefit us.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said. I mean, at least the Chiefs aren't coming off a bye week, at least like they were when the Bills played them in. No, they weren't coming off a bye week then, but I think they were when the Bills played them last season during the regular season. It was this weird scenario that happened with scheduling and stuff like that because of the Titans game. Everything got screwed up. I'm really excited for that Chiefs game. I'm really excited to see what the Bills are going to do if they can, you know, become that Super Bowl contender and knock them off. And if not knock them off, have a really good game against them where you're like, okay. If they play against them next week, the Bills win that game. Based on like with the Steelers game, like enough things just happen to go in the Steelers' favor for the Bills to win. If the Bills play a game like that and lose, or, you know, if they win, obviously be a great week for us. I think the future is bright. Really excited for that game.
Bills are definitely going
to
win.
Wow. Okay, good. Well, I look forward to talking about the Bills' victory over the Chiefs with you next week on the recap, John.
Go Bills.
Michael Taylor writes, Wall of Fame, Allen, for not letting that first pass get to him. Knox looked really good, too. I know we lost Matt Milano, but A.J. Klein filled in nicely. Yeah. Shout out to A.J. Klein. Wall of Shame, the weather sucked, and I know that had a lot to do with it, but there were a lot of fumbles and drops, even if we recovered them. Good call. I think the Bills had four fumbles on the day and only lost one of them. Jiminy Jillackers writes in, Wall of Fame, the defense as a whole again. Even the backups held their weight. Wall of Shame, the red zone offense. We should have hung 70 on those guys. If you're gonna pick apart, man, that's the one thing, right? Richard W. Griswold writes, Wall of Fame, Knox is turning into a bona fide star. Like the team needs another reliable target. Can never have too many reliable targets, right? I love watching Moss run. The Bills D is the class of the league right now. Everybody stay healthy. Wall of Shame, nada. I love watching the Bills running backs run. And this is this season, the offensive line is actually making holes for them. So you get to see them actually, you know, get into the second level and make guys miss. Whereas normally last season, they were just trying to make guys miss in the backfield. They're trying to get out of the backfield. The Violent Wanderers writes in, another podcast writing in. Very nice. Wall of Fame, Dawson Knox. The man is lighting it up. The defense for posting another goose egg. Josh Allen for overcoming the early game issues and getting in rhythm. Wall of Shame, not much to pick from, but the holding penalties, calling big runs has to stop. Good call there. I like what they said specifically about Josh Allen overcoming the early game issues and getting in rhythm. And someone mentioned that earlier. Mike Taylor, I think, mentioned that not letting that pass get to them. That's a huge step for Josh Allen, not only in his career, but in this season. I think he had that last season, but just getting back into that rhythm of not letting it bother you and moving on. Cause he easily could have let that interception just dictate how he played the rest of the game. And he didn't. He bounced back easily. And that's what you want from your quarterback. That's what you want for $258 million, right? M writes, another lady listener. And we've had like three or four. Impressive. Very nice. M writes, she says, Wall of Fame, even though it's quote unquote against the rules, in parentheses, since it's not just one person. I'm putting the whole defense. I like how she says that. Listen, M, I know Mike's not here, so we can say whatever we want about Mike when he's not here. Not that we're scared to do it, you know, like he's going to tear us apart while he's on the podcast. But this whole Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame is whatever you want it. You want it to be, someone earlier mentioned 10 different individual players and they were on different sides of the ball. So you want to put an entire team on it. You want to put an entire organization. You want to put Terry Pegula on the Wall of Fame. I don't care. It's all fair game. And then she also writes, Wall of Shame, the frickin' weather. God, it was awful sitting in it. Private Joker 2003 writes, Wall of Fame, Leslie Frazier. When every single person on the D balls out, you have to give it to the coordinator. Wall of Shame, Houston, you have dishonored the NFL and the great state of Texas with that performance. Gettysburg of the game, the first Knox TD. Jugger Knox has arrived. Absolutely. Good call there, Private Joker 2003. Finally, after like we came up with that nickname two seasons ago or whatever and just have been waiting to use it and haven't had a good excuse to use a decent nickname. Zach Miss? Zach Moss? Motor and Grease? What did we come up with? I don't think we can. Motor and Whack-a-Mole? Whack-a-Moss? Motor and Torque. I think that's my favorite one so far. Motor and Torque.
Would you do Motor and Torque or Torque and Motor?
How come we never thought about horsepower? Torque, horsepower? Like, how come we never think of that? I like Motor and Torque, personally. What do you like?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way.
So this isn't a Wall of Fame or Wall of Shame, but Stephen Foster, Bills by a Billion writes, how about the two biggest shutouts in the NFL through the first 4 weeks? What's that? There's only been one other one so far, and the only other team with a shutout was playing against, oh, right, the Jets. Yeah, that doesn't count. I butchered Stephen's tweet, but that's funny. Yeah, yeah, the Bills had shutouts against teams that have won games, so... Actually, the Jets just won. I keep forgetting. We're listening to the Jets game on the way back home from the Bills game, and listening to them beat the Titans was pretty good.
It was kind of weird rooting for an AFC East opponent this early in the season.
Yeah, you're kind of hoping that the Jets don't get the number one overall pick again next year, though, just for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, but that and like, you know, so the Titans are probably a bigger threat than the Jets would be to any, you know, playoff seeding and things like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Thank you guys all for writing in as you do every week. Keep writing in, keep giving us your takes. I read different ones each week. And here, you know what? We're going to do our giveaway this week. So we still have an Ed Oliver signed jersey to give away, a blue home jersey. We have two different t-shirts to give away for our T Public site. And so we're going to do three winners this week. If you're wondering how you can be part of the giveaways each week, just leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts about and mention Circling the Wagons. It's, by the way, it's all under the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network, right? So in there, you'll find, you know, obviously all the podcasts that are part of our network. And you just leave a review in there, 5-star review, mention CTW or CTW pod or wherever, Circling the Wagon, somewhere in the description. And then also in the description or the body of the rave review or whatever you want to say, mention another podcast within this feed, at least one. You can mention all of them if you love all of them, but mention another one. Want to give those guys a shout out as well this season. They're a new thing that we're doing this season. Besides that, is that I'm eliminating people who are being called to win that have not come up and spoken up and said that they win. And what's funny is I know some of you have listened because you've told me you listened and you've absolutely won something and you didn't listen to the end of the podcast. So you didn't end up winning the Ed Oliver jersey or whatever, which is sad. And so I've taken you off the list. If you're wondering if you were on the list, if you're off the list and you want to come back on, shoot me a message. Let me know. Say, I heard that my name was called. I want to be back on the list. I will put you back on the list. But you have to listen to each podcast. You have to listen to each episode and let me know which episode you heard your name and I will put you back on. I'm not going to do the work for you. All right. That's what I'm saying. So the first winner for the Ed Oliver jersey and the two T Public Store t-shirts are Joey_Mole. That's Joey_Mole. The next winner is JStaff542. That's JStaff542. And the last one is Debbie Rice Pilk. That's Debbie Rice Pilk. The three of you, the first one to get back to me gets their choice of what they want, which item that they would like. And the other two get to pick the next items. So I want to read this one review that just came in recently from J Gager88. John, I think you might like this one. It's kind of relatable. And he shouts out, you know, CTW and some other podcasts, but he wrote, he left us a review before and then he just updated it because you can do that on Apple Podcasts, which is pretty cool. It's a 2021 update. Me and my wife are diehard Bills fans. I've been a Bills fan for my whole life and my wife got into the Bills in 2017. She bought me the military edition Josh Allen jersey and Bills hat for Christmas. Listening to your podcast after every game day makes my week perfect. Win or lose, I love listening to the recap each week. Thank you for everything you do. Go Buffalo and go Circling the Wagons. 2021 update. Again, we love listening to all Buffalo Rumblings podcasts, CTW and Code of Conduct especially, but everyone is great and we got a new little Bills fan on the way. Newest member of the Bills family will be here January 2022. Hopefully our little Bills fan will be the luck we need to win the Super Bowl. Already got a Josh Allen onesie for their first game. So I thought that was cool. I don't read a lot of reviews on the podcast, but I thought that was nice. You know, it's a nice sentiment. And I love hearing about, you know, new members of Bills Mafia coming around. So the giveaway is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Thank you to everyone who's participated in that. Like I said, message me over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email us, ctwpod@gmail.com. Let me know that you heard the podcast, that you won, and let me know what you want. So just to give you a quick update on the Buffalo Rumblings League Pick'em League, Daniel Pieri is still winning with 39 picks, but he's tied for first with Joe Goodman. So Joe Goodman, Daniel Pieri, tied for first in the league. The winner gets their choice of three different jerseys. I believe one is a Zach Moss jersey, signed jersey, a Harrison Phillips signed jersey, and a Thurman Thomas signed jersey. So they get that. And then the winner also gets to appear on Circling the Wagons podcast. Give us your Buffalo Bills take at the end of the season. So right now they're doing that. John, you freaking crushed it the last 2 weeks. If the leader is at 39, you are at 36. You're only three picks away from the leaderboard, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Mike is in second place out of the three of us with 31. And I'm doing awful. I am at 27. I'm 12 off. I need a full week. It's like I might as well have not even picked 1 week, basically, is what happened.
My new strategy is to get you to tell me your picks and I'll do the opposite.
You did do that. When I mentioned that the Bills were out, John Feliciano and Jordan Poyer, I'm like, oh, well, maybe the Bills don't cover. And you're just like, okay, I know what I'm doing now. So this week, John, my strategy was do the exact opposite of what I thought I should do. So like I've been going like, you know, six, seven, I've gotten seven picks right each of the last 3 weeks. This week, I only have six picks right. So doing the exact opposite apparently isn't the way to go.
You need to do the opposite on half of your picks.
Oh, okay. So that way I can get zero next week. Go for broke. Go get 14 or 16 right or zero. Give me an A or give me an F in the Pick'em League. Thank you guys all for being a part of that Pick'em League. It's all for charity. It's all for American Cancer Society. It's a great cause. And looking forward to talking to one of you at the end of the season about that. So the CBS Sports Pick'em League brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. John, you and I are going to talk next week, hopefully with Mike, after the game, after the Bills game on Sunday night, which I believe it's Sunday night, correct?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm not looking forward to the next two games just because they're primetime games. I just want to go to bed.
Normally we're recording like 8:30, right? And now it's going to be like 11:30. We're just going to run through them. I'm not going to edit anything. This is just going to be a free stream. No sound effects. It is what it is. See you. Go Bills. It's going to be a fun time. So, John, unless you have anything else to add, this was a great discussion. It was a great time talking with you about the Bills shutout victory against the Houston Texans, 40-0. Not a whole lot to be upset about in this game, and hoping that this momentum really brings them into. Everyone was worried about. I had a good friend of mine, voiceover Nick, that's come on, that does the voiceovers, the beginning and the end of the podcast, was always like, he's telling me this week, you know, it's going to be a trap game this week. You know, the Bills are looking past the Texans to the Chiefs. And I mean, this was a good thing. I think a lot of people might have thought that, and it wasn't a trap game. The Bills definitely, you know, kept their eye on the prize, took care of the Texans handedly, and they're hopefully, you know, concentrating on the game plan against the Chiefs. And that the next time that you and I are talking, we're talking about a Bills victory over the Chiefs, because now you're definitely, I mean, you're thinking Super Bowl at this point. You'll be thinking Super Bowl win after a win against the Kansas City Chiefs, especially by the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played last night. I mean, I don't think anyone's really worried about them as much either. So, yeah, so signing off. Thank you guys all for listening. Signing off for John.
Hey, go Bills. I'm not worried about anything. Super Bowl, this is the year.
This is the year. For me, Nate, thank you guys all for listening. Tell a friend, tell a relative, tell a coworker, tell another Bills fan about Circling the Wagons and the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. So go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Buffalo, stand up. It's the mafia. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Yo. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Bill City. Yo. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. Yeah. Ike McKenzie on a jet sweep, maybe it's a fake. Honestly, it's a TD either way. When you got Diggs and Bees and Gabe Davis, three-headed Singletary, Moss, Breda. Who gon' stop us? We the greatest. Forget Mahomes, forget Kelsey, forget Hill. Come and replay us, cause we ready. Sebastian like Boogie, yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford, we ready. Kick they buck up like Ike, yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike, are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo, this is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Bill City. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. Yeah. What? It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. A Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Taron Johnson with a pick six. It's just too easy. Don't pass it to Treyway. Please believe me, we got high right behind him in Poya Free. Please don't run up the middle unless you want to meet a star. Greg Rousseau can show you what he's about. Trey Edmonds and Matt Milano can't get around him. Our team is grounded. Oh, yeah. Sebastian like Boogie, yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford. We ready. Kick they bucket like Ike. Yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike. Are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo, this is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.